the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
Our scripture for this evening comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Thessalonica saying this, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our reading from 1 Thessalonians tonight, it tells us that we are not, I repeat, that we're not to grieve as others might grieve. Now hear it once again, just so we don't miss it. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, that is those who have passed away, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So what does this mean? Does this mean that tonight we are not to grieve the loss of Harold? Does this mean that we should not cry at tomorrow's funeral service and that we should not feel pain? Does this mean that we should not experience sorrow and that we should not mourn at the graveside committal tomorrow? Should we maybe toughen up as North Dakotans, toughen up and pull ourselves together and stuff our emotions for the weeks to come? Should we perhaps pull ourselves up by those bootstraps and keep it all together? My friends, absolutely not. The Apostle Paul is not saying that we cannot grieve, but rather he is saying that we can weep, that we can mourn, that we can cry, that we can grieve the loss of Harold. However, we do that without despairing grief. In other words, we do not grieve as if death is the ultimate end, as if there is nothing beyond death. Now, considering this, the reason why our grieving as Christians is different than other people is that we have something called hope. Yes, hope. Hope that lies right in the midst of grief, right in the midst of a funeral, right in the midst of loss. In other words, when we look at the loss of Harold, the pain of death, we look at it with hope in view. We hold sorrow in one hand, and in the other hand, we hold hope. We mourn the loss of Harold with all of the emotions that come with death, but we grieve not as if we are uninformed and not as if we do not have hope. But how is this hope so powerful as if to affect the way that we grieve? Now keep in mind that left to itself, the word hope is an empty word. If you say, "I have hope," this is fairly ambiguous. The reason being, hope actually needs an object. Hope must be attached to someone or something. In other words, hope by itself is powerless. Hope by itself is nothing more than a pious-sounding talking point. But rather, as we've previously stated, hope must be connected to something, and more specifically, to someone. Tonight, dear friends and family, our hope in the midst of this prayer service, our hope in the midst of this prayer service is in the promises of the Lord to and for us. That is to say, the source of our hope in the midst of this prayer service is in the promises of that shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is sufficient to forgive us of all of our sins, to forgive you, to forgive me, and to forgive Harold. Jesus Christ is indeed sufficient. And it is in these promises that Jesus is our righteousness and that we are holy because of him that we have hope. We have hope in Christ's righteousness that we wear like a robe. Our hope is in the promises that Jesus is coming back for you and for me and, oh yes, for Harold. Our hope is anchored in the promise that a powerful trumpet will sound someday. It will blast and the dead bodies will be raised from their grave. The grave will not be able to keep them down. Our hope is connected to the promise that there will be a resurrection of the body, that Christ is coming back to take you, to take me, and Harold home to everlasting life. Now, unfortunately, the original hearers of the text from 1 Thessalonians, the original hearers, they had some misconceptions about what happens after death. They had doubt and they had uncertainty. Some were worried that when they died, that there was no hope, that they were going to be somehow out of reach of Christ. Indeed, there was a lack of hope. Now, is it any different for us today? In the midst of death, it seems to me that every one of us look for hope and assurance. Death has a way of doing that to each and every one of us. Unfortunately, we can end up with despair. Yes, despair, when our hope fails to be placed where it should be, or when our hope is connected to hopeless things. Yes, even the best and well-intentioned Christians, they fail when they place their hope in the wrong places. For example, you and I, we can place our hope in our very own accomplishments. We can place our hope in our own accumulated worth that we build up for ourselves. And thus, when we attend prayer services such as this, we can begin to think about our own death. Death then brings about insecurity. As a result, we attempt to offset this insecurity by manufacturing our own hope and our own assurance to grant us comfort. That is to say, if we're not careful, we can end up placing our hope in our own perceived goodness. We can say to ourselves something such as this: what will be my fate when I die? Well, I'm a pretty good person. This, though, is most unfortunate. For when we place our hope in ourselves, we deceive ourselves because we cannot save ourselves. We cannot scrub hard enough to purge the stain of sin from our conscience. Placing hope in our own spiritual resumes will not overcome the harshness of death. Now, at this time, I could spend time talking about some of the wonderful things that Harold has done and accomplished in his life, for there are many. Now let me reaffirm to you this evening, to each and every one of you, and to you as a family, to reaffirm to you that it is incredibly important and good to remember these wonderful memories and all the workings of Harold, as you will do later on this evening and throughout tomorrow and the weeks to come. However, we must keep everything in perspective, knowing that hope does not look to these events and these memories, as good as they may be. Our hope as Christians look beyond these memories, and they look beyond our grief right now, and they look to that cross of Christ. And get this, the death of Jesus, the death of Christ on that cross, was not for Jesus himself. Get this, it was for Harold. It was for you. It was for me. Indeed, Harold shared in the death of Jesus. He was washed clean without spot or blemish in his baptism. God placed his name upon Harold, making him his own. Through faith, Harold was united with Jesus in life and in death. You who have ears, hear this glorious news. Harold has not been abandoned in death. In death, Jesus came and took Harold with him into his rest, into the realms of eternal glory. Furthermore, Jesus will also take Harold with him at the resurrection of all the dead. At the last day, Christ will indeed come, and the trumpets will sound, and Harold will hear the powerful voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, and like Lazarus, he will come forth out of his grave, alive and with a glorified body. All the pain of the body will be left behind, and he will be clothed. He will be clothed with splendor and holiness and never-ending life. You see, my friends, we do not grieve like others, for we have hope. Furthermore, our hope is not like others because our hope is not in ourselves, but our hope is in a Savior who came and will come again for us. We have hope, not in our own abilities to climb to the Lord, but our hope is in that promise of the Savior who comes to meet us in our death and who has promised to come and take our bodies out of the grave at that last day. We have present hope, my friends. Hope in the midst of death. Hope in the midst of a prayer service. We have hope right here and right now. Jesus, he defeated hell. He defeated death. He defeated sin, and he defeated the devil. Therefore, we have hope right here and right now because Christ is the resurrection and the life. We have hope right here and right now because there is a future resurrection for all of us who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.